WHAM proudly welcomes you to Soundbites. This is America's longest-running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice 1 toll-free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or Star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Soundbites. It is Saturday, the 21st of December, Anno Domini 2002. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is the universe's longest-running and greatest computer show.
You didn't know Latin for 21, then, I take it.
I do know Latin for 21.
But you didn't say it.
XXI.
Oh.
It is.
Yep. Pure.
And we're here. We're going to take your phone calls. We're going to answer a few emails. We're going to have a little fun. You know the numbers. So give us a call. And in the meantime, we will do some news. And we're going to start with Steve.
Well, we had some interesting updates this week. Mac OS 10 has been updated to 10.2.3. Apple released the update Thursday, I believe it was. 50 megabyte download. So you want to be on high speed. general
improvement. Friend with a burner.
General improvements in stability and speed. But one of the more interesting things that came out is that OS 9 has had a reprieve.
It's the OS that wouldn't die.
Just a little history. Last May, at the Worldwide Developers Conference, Steve Jobs had a funeral for OS 9 with a dirge and the music and the coffin and the whole bit, and basically told developers to stop writing for OS 9, because OS 10 had been out for 2 years by then.
Right.
and too many OS 9 programs are holding back the adoption of OS 10. Well, in...
What do you mean the people want it, and so that's bad?
Too bad.
Well, people are still buying OS 9 programs, so there's no real reason to run OS 10 yet if the programs you have are running in OS 9.
Right.
OS 10 does have a compatibility layer that will take the OS 9 programs and run them, so that's not that big a deal. But some people still are more comfortable with 9. It's the same thing that's happening in the Windows world, that XP looks so different, people are more comfortable with 98 and don't want to upgrade.
Did you know that you can run Windows XP in classic mode, and it looks just like 98 or 2000?
Yeah, I've seen that change the way the appearance
is. And so although you have all the benefits of... XP, you run it in classic mode so it doesn't look strange.
But they
still move things around to where, you know...
Yeah, everything is still in the wrong place, but that happens whenever you go to a new machine.
So
everything's someplace else.
Yeah. So last September, Apple announced that new machines, starting in January next year, would not boot OS 9, sort of to kickstart the industry into going into OS 10 completely. Well, there's a couple of programs that haven't been released for OS 10 yet, most notably Quark Express, big in the graphic and design market. Yeah.
It would be big not to have that.
Well, it still works fine in Classic inside of OS 10, but some people, again, still like to boot OS 9.
Right.
So a few weeks ago, Quark started emailing their bigger companies and saying, yeah, look, don't worry. There still will be OS 9 machines after January. So then Apple was prompted to issue a press release last week saying that, yes, in fact, there will be a current machine still running, this will still boot OS 9 after January until at least June. And also for the educational customers, there will be an iMac and an eMac that will boot OS 9 because not all the ed programs have been updated.
Right.
So a lot of people accused Apple of backpedaling, but no, it's any new machine will still boot OS 10. It's they're apparently going to just leave one of the current models, the dual 1.25, running OS booting to OS 9. The way Apple's normal upgrade practices have worked is that when a new machine comes out, what was previously the top of the line becomes the bottom of the line, and two new ones come out. So if the 1.25, which is now top of the line at $3,000, gets dropped to the bottom of the line, which is 1500, that means there's got to be two better ones. So we're all thinking maybe a 1.4, 1.5, and then maybe even a 2.0, depending on how fast Motorola can get their chips running. So it's an interesting reading between the lines coming out of the Mac market.
Right.
And we'll know for sure in 2 weeks when Macworld Expo starts in San Francisco.
And we'll be reporting the results of that where?
Right here on Soundbite.
You got it! And
I mean,
now
we could always go out there and see for ourselves.
We could. Let's go.
I'm with me.
Okay.
Go where
San Francisco
warm
in the winter?
I mean, have to put up with 70 degrees instead of, what is it now, like 30?
30-ish.
I mean...
Yeah, but we're Rochesterians.
We're used to it.
We're used to it.
Don't like the weather? Wait a minute.
That's right.
Yeah, I know, it'll change. Although, yeah, even though we do complain, I gotta admit, I'd rather have the snow than to deal with tornadoes, floods,
earthquakes.
Given a choice, I'll take the... Of course, we're in the second most active...
I mean, look at down where...
Earthquake
zone in America.
So we sleep through them.
But where was it? Down in Mississippi, they had the tornado hit down on the holiday shoppers.
Yes.
And, I mean, there was no warning. They said, oh, well, I think it's only going to be some thunderstorms, and all of a sudden the tornado touched down and did some serious damage. And it's like, whoa! You know, see...
Weird weather.
Yeah, a vehicle literally pass you by, but it's like 15, 20 feet off the ground.
Yeah.
You know.
All of a sudden, Pierce Brosnan is sitting next to you in a car. And what's... wasn't he in that tornado movie? Oh, maybe not.
No, that was... he was in the volcano movie.
It was the volcano movie. I get so confused from disaster film to disaster film.
But a tornado
you can never
one was
be
a good
sure.
One.
Yeah.
With all the special effects
yeah.
in that
yeah.
animation.
We have cow.
Yeah, Chief Cow.
Not a gateway either.
Yeah, right. What's going on in the hardware world?
HP is a little upset because over in the United Kingdom, they're now going to make them take out the clever chip, they call it, in their cartridges. And for you folks that don't know what that is they've more or less, HP started burying a chip in their electronics of the cartridge that if you tried to use a non-HP cartridge, it would come up and say, sorry, I'm not going to work. You don't have the correct cartridge in there, so it won't print. And they were saying this is kind of unfair to other manufacturers, which is upsetting HP because that's where they derive a lot of their income is from selling the cartridges, not the printers.
$50 printer, make it up in cartridges.
Yeah, right. You're going to make it up in that because they're hoping that you're going to go out, you know, and you got kids that are going to want to print all these colored pictures and everything else, and you're going to want to do photos and all that other stuff to take up the commodities. So by them requiring HP to take this clever chip out, now that's opening the door, and that's going to start cutting into HP's profits.
Epson has done something similar with their cartridges, but they say it's just for ink management, so the cartridge knows when it's empty. The problem there is it knows it's empty. You can't refill it.
Well, this is where the refilling kits are getting very popular, too, and they've gotten a lot, easier, because it used to be a nightmare to fill those cartridges. I mean, now they've got these neat syringes that will only pull up so much that you can insert them into each top of a color cartridge, and it's not the big mess as it used to be. So
but these chips in the cartridge prevent you from refilling them.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they let you refill it, but it won't work because it knows it's empty.
Right. Right. Jim McCollum was the first guy I ever saw do that. He used to be part of the user group I was with. He was so excited when he showed us how to do this, and I thought to myself, why is this interesting? Well, and then the first inkjet printer I got, I immediately said, now I know. Now I get it.
Well, we used to re-ink our impact printer, ribbons.
Right.
Oh, run the ink back on it. But you had to use the good ink that had the lubricating fluid in it.
Or you had to use the cheap ink and WD-40.
Yep.
And and that kit, you could sit there and literally mount a cartridge onto this inking kit. And you had to sit there and keep winding it and winding it and winding it.
Or you pay the $10 more and get the one with a motor.
Yes.
Right. We're going to take a quick break. But we'll be back in just a few minutes with a lot more news, a lot more of your questions, email, everything else. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM.
Sound Bites, America's longest running computer radio show. It's brought to you by the Element K Learning Center, MicroWorks Direct Computers, Runner Business Class, at Green Shield Computer Services. 15,000 watts. I wonder how many gigabytes that would translate to. Welcome back to Sound Bites on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Here's Nick Francesco.
Where? Oh, right here. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Sound Bites.
Huh?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Before we get to the phones, I want to talk about a flaw in XP. Were you sitting down? Okay. There is a new flaw in XP. It puts your MP3 Windows Media Player files at risk. These are two of the most popular audio file formats, and they can be used by crackers to take control of remote PCs. You don't even need to run the files. All you have to do is put them somewhere where they will be in a folder that's viewable. Because with XP, it takes every folder and and checks the file type so that if you hover your mouse over it, it'll start to play.
Ooh.
So if you even just move the mouse over it, bang, you get the problem. MP3 files are, of course, traded and shared by millions on sites and on peer-to-peer networks all over the internet. People are commonly downloading and playing these files, posted by people they've never met. No practical way of verifying the contents of these files. Windows Media Format is somewhat less popular than MP3, but it's still pretty prevalent online. And you can get it by hosting it on a website, putting a link in an email message, whatever it takes. All you have to do is hover your mouse pointer over the file, and bang, you've got it. A successful attack would cause the Windows shell to fail or run the attacker's code on the user machine or whatever they want to do. XP Home Edition, XP Pro, XP Tablet PC Edition, XP Media Center Edition, all of them are vulnerable. There is a patch located on Microsoft's website. So when you do your update stuff, you should do that because it's going to get it. There is a similar vulnerability, by the way, in Winamp. So you should update that as well because it's the one running usually the MP3 files. So update both and you'll be on your way.
Oh, I got it.
You had your hand up like you wanted to say something. Go ahead.
Well, I'm still trying to stay awake. I got to say hello to my grand Cody. I promised him he's back home with Grandma and they're listening to the show, and I promised to say hello to them. If he's still awake, of course, he had me up at 6 o'clock in the morning. A four-year-old at 6 o'clock in the morning, you know, wanting to get up. I was like, kid, let's go back.
For years, the only reason I knew there was a 6 o'clock in the morning is because I seen it from the other side. Still up.
Still up, yeah.
That's true. But, I mean, man. And I tried to get him to lay back down for a little bit.
Ain't going
to
happen.
Well, he did. But then all of a sudden he looks out the window as he's laying there with me, and it's like, there's a light. Well, what are you seeing? He's thinking it's daylight. It's the light from the street.
Yeah, right.
And no, it's only going on 6 o'clock. No, Papa, we got to get up and have some cereal. I'm too tired to have cereal. Let's come back to bed.
No. Well, luckily, though, starting tonight, the days will begin. The amount of... I don't want Steve to go off on his... there's really only 24 hours on every day. They don't get longer. The amount of sunlight per day will increase as we go because it's the winter solstice. Blessed be to everybody who celebrates that.
Days are going to get longer. It's starting tomorrow.
The days are getting longer.
I think 2 minutes every day.
I'll take it.
Spring's around the corner, folks.
That's right. What, I should spring around the corner and break something? I don't think so.
No.
We're going to go to the phones now. Our first caller is Tony from Holly, New York. Welcome, Tony. What's your question?
How are you today?
Peachy, how are you?
Great. Yeah, I have two questions for you if you have time.
Sure.
Yeah. The first one is I'm running Windows ME.
Ow!
I know. And I tried to download Weatherbug off the internet. And I'm getting an error message.
Apparently, Dave's heard of this before. He's all choked up.
And the error message says that I do not have access to make the required system configuration modifications. Please rerun this installation from an administrator's account.
Weatherbug loves to add a lot of other, what they call, features.
And what we call spy programs.
I thought it was the coolest thing when I found it. What Weatherbug is, it's a little program that you download, and it sits in your system tray, and it tells you what the temperature is.
Right.
And I thought, how cool is that?
That's what they make thermometers for.
Well, I just thought it would be kind of cool. And you can set what city it's for, so that's kind of nice. And then you click on it, and it shows you the weather and the forecast and the radar. So if you're a weather geek, it's a cool thing. You can register your school. And if you download it under their name, then if they get a certain number of downloads, they get like a weather station and all kinds of other cool stuff. Unfortunately, when I installed it, I discovered that there's a billion pieces of spyware that come along
Save
with it.
Save now,
you
Newsnet.
You get email forever. Stephanie at Weatherbug is on my naughty list for the entire rest of her existence, assuming there even is a Stephanie at Weatherbug. But go ahead.
Yeah,
go. Answer Tony's question.
So
if you have not downloaded Weatherbug, don't.
Yeah, you might want, if you've tried to install it, the best thing we can tell you to do is uninstall it.
Okay, well, I did have it at one point, and I uninstalled it, and then I wanted to get it back, and that's when I ran into this error message.
Yeah, well, that's the one thing that we say about ME, it doesn't like change. If you take it right out of the box and use it just as it is, it's fine. But the minute you start getting adding and subtracting other programs, other equipment, it's been noted over the past few months, this really raises havoc with ME, and it doesn't get, and it'll cause boot errors, lockups, you name it. ME from the get-go, and that's why I get so upset, is because it does not have the support out there like the other programs do. I mean, Microsoft isn't behind it. You can't go out anywhere and buy a copy of ME anymore. You can still buy 98, and 98, you know, ME came out after 98. So the best thing we can tell you to do is try to uninstall it from there.
Now, my only concern is that I might, like, if something changed in the PC, that I'll run into this problem trying to download other applications from the net.
What type of machine is it?
It's good question. I got it at Toyota. It's got a Celeron processor, and it's a couple years old. It's been a great machine.
P3?
I'm sorry?
Is it a P3 equivalent?
I don't know.
What's the megahertz speed?
It's up over 500.
Well, then, if you've got, say, 256 mega memory and a decent-sized hard drive, you could always take that machine and upgrade it to Windows XP Home Edition. You will have far fewer problems, and it'll run smoother. You can put, like I say, put 256, even take it up to 512K. XP will take advantage of all that memory. You can then have a lot more programs out there, updates and everything else, versus the ME machine that you currently have.
Right. Other than going through all of that, though, is there any other way to approach this problem? Like, is there something in the ME software that is looking for an administrator that I can go in and check?
No, there shouldn't be, because usually all ME is, when you set it up, unless you've got multiple users, then, see, something else has gotten changed in there that it thinks that it's gotten confused, because, like I say,
right.
Not until you get into Windows 2000, XP Server, Windows 2000 Server, and that, do you start getting into administrative rights. So, you might want to just see if you can back out of that. If you have the system restore, you can always click on that and go back to another point in time.
Yeah, I did that and it told me nothing had changed.
Then pick another date farther back.
As a tip, whenever you go to install something on ME, set a restore point so that after it doesn't work right, you know you can go back before that install.
Yes.
And for the Macs, there's a similar program that isn't spyware called WeatherPop, and I just put a link on our website. A free version, it gives you the temperature. A shareware version, it also gives you the forecast.
Cool. We're going to take a quick break back in just a couple of minutes with Ben Wright, Steve Ray, Rob Linson, our producer, and me, Nick Francesco, on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, on 1180 WHAM.
This is Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM. From PCs to Macs, these guys can help with any computer question you may have. So call the boys now at 222-1180, the Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180, or *1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, once again, here's Nick Francesco.
Welcome back. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. Going to go back to the phones in just a minute, but I have to say something. Last week, I was in Toronto to see The Lion King. First, it is incredible. It is true theater magic. From the minute the show started till it ended, I sat there with my mouth open, a little paint, a little canvas, and it's unbelievable.
Worth the drive.
However, well worth the drive. However, speaking of the drive, half of the time I was on the road, I was trying to call into the show, and I was going to say, excuse me, could you boost the signal, please, because those of us in Toronto are having a little trouble hearing you. But I couldn't get through. Man, this is popular. I could not get through to the show.
We didn't give you the non-listed number.
Yeah, don't tell them there even is a non-listed number. Everybody be calling in on it. The but I tell you what, it was.
You could have taken the ferry if you'd have waited a few millennia.
Just a few millennia, we could have taken a ferry. We're going to go back to the phones now. We have Al from Fairport on the line. Welcome, Al. What's your question?
Yes, my question is I have a Windows 98 machine with antivirus software, and it doesn't seem to be updating anymore.
Your subscription, what's the expiration date on your
subscription? September of next year. I'm just wondering if this is my daughter's computer, and I was just wondering if somehow I got, you know, a virus or something in there.
You might have gotten the CLES virus in there, which if you had gotten the CLES virus on your machine, that would stop it from doing any future updating, because that's the whole crux of CLES, is to sit there and shut down the antivirus software and then start to destroying other programs. You might want to go to our website, soundbites.org. Down on the right-hand side, we have a listing there. I heard this website on your show. Click on that. It will take you to an alphabetic listing. On the right-hand side, look for the program called Stinger. You go to, click on that. It will take you to the site where you can download this utility called Stinger. Stinger will get rid of Bugbear, Elkhorn,
there's 16
different viruses, and I would recommend running that.
Okay, I believe I did that already, and I got I downloaded it onto my computer, which is Windows XP,
right.
And then I put it in there, and it didn't seem to find anything. Is there something else that I could do? Possibly?
Well, what happens when you try to run an update in the Norton on your daughter's machine?
It just says it's doing it, and if you know, it says, I'm busy doing it.
Is there anything in quarantine? Is there anything in quarantine?
What are the dates of your DAT files?
Okay. Now, I had them up to October 16th. And then, and that was about a month behind. But don't blame me, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then I reloaded the software, and the software now says that the files are earlier than when I put it in.
Right.
Yes.
When you reinstall, it loads the definitions from the CD.
Yes.
And ignores what you already had.
Right. And so I'm still not able to download.
What's your internet connection?
I'm using DSL.
So it's not, because what I was thinking is on a modem speed connection, it could take an hour to download a big update if it's updating both the program and the definitions.
What you might want to do is go to the Norton website and manually download the updates, the DAT files, and try doing it that way so it does a thorough scan.
Okay, super.
Okay.
There you go.
Thank you very much, Ben.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much. Our next caller, Jim from Springwater, New York. Welcome, Jim. What's your question?
Hi. I just bought XP. I haven't installed it yet. I'm running EasyCD Creator 5.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard that Roxio has problems with XP. Do you know anything about that?
Is it the Premiere version?
It's the EasyCD Creator Platinum.
Yes, that will work with XP.
The issue is that Windows licensed some of the Roxio software for use inside of XP.
Uh-huh.
So when you load a separate Roxio program on top of it, they conflict with each other. Roxio has patches available to download for the standalone EasyCD Creator inside of inside of XP.
Okay, that's a huge download, isn't it?
No, it's not
the patches. No,
because I had read on one of the newsletters that I get, I think it's from ZDNet, that one of the upgrades is larger than the program itself.
No, as long as you got version 5, you should be okay.
There's a link on our website already for the XP patch.
And then you can go to our website, download the XP patch once it's on there, but it should give you no problems.
Okay, I'm running 98 SE right now.
Yeah. How much memory?
Pardon?
How much memory in the
12?
Great. You should be happy with XP.
That's too much memory. Take out half and send it to me.
Okay. So I just put I just upgraded to 512. I'm running AMD 1700.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, that's too big. I'll have to trade machines with you.
Okay.
It actually is too much for 98. 98 can't take advantage of all
that's
that.
That's right.
Yeah.
I'm in the process of I'm getting ready to install. I've burned a lot of my files to CD, so
great.
I have them.
Good to hear. Good to hear.
And would you recommend a full install rather than an upgrade?
No, you can do the upgrade.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because I've always been of the opinion that you're probably better off trying to...
Well, let me ask you, how is 98 running? Does it shut down correctly? Do you have any problems?
Occasionally I have trouble shutting down.
Well, then you might want to do a complete...
Do a clean install.
Yeah, do a clean install. Yep.
I can do that with the upgrade.
Yeah, you can do that. It's simply a matter. It'll say
it's going to say something like, "I can't find Windows. Please insert your installation disk."
You have to put your Windows 98 CD in temporarily, so it can verify that you had a version, and then it'll go ahead and then tell you to put the XP CD back in and continue on.
And here's what I think you'd heard about the EasyCD Creator 5 to 5.3.2 update is 18 megabytes.
Right.
The Windows XP patch is only a few hundred K, but you probably want that full 5.3.2 upgrade anyway.
5.3.2 upgrade, I believe, is... Let's see. I'm running 5.3.1.
Well, that's... Yeah, that's the...
I bought the CD from Roxio, the 5.3.1 upgrade.
Okay.
Because they said it was too large to download.
Mm-hmm.
So right now my Roxio software is up to 5.3.1. It's matter of fact, it's 5.3.1.154 service pack 4 SP4.
Nick always used to kid me about the version numbers on the Mac.
Windows hides them better. Yeah.
But yeah, that 5.3.2.
What you want to do is give yourself broadband for Christmas.
I'd love to.
There you go.
But you should be okay though. You should be okay with that working on there, but do a clean install.
Yeah, we have to take a break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Chesko, all of you. This is Soundbites. This is Wham. This is 1180 WHAM.
These sounds are longly
carefully cobbling. Shut up.
I didn't say a word.
You didn't even say nothing. After that, I said it before he did. I'm tripping you up.
Welcome back to America's longest running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Get online now. Call 222-1180. The choice one, toll free line at 1-800-295-1180. Star 1180. A free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. But you know, Soundbites is so much more than just a radio show. We're...
A dessert topping.
A dessert topping. We're a floor wax.
We got some good cookies up here, thanks to Shirley.
Thank you, Shirley. We are forums.
Shirley was Shirley.
For those of you who can't get to the show every week, or for those of you who want more sound bites than you get on WHAM, then maybe you should join the forums. We have currently 11,294 messages posted by 1,103 registered users. So you can join in that fun to our site, Sound Bites. That's Bites with a Y, Francis would like me to remind you. I've never met Francis, but she's probably sick of hearing me say this. Soundbites.org and go there. And you can also
join in in our next roadshow.
That's right. You also have to join in our poll. Last week's poll was, if you could upgrade just one component, what would it be? Peace on Earth won with 31% of the votes, followed by RAM with 20% of the votes. Monitor, 12%. Internet connection, 12%. All the way down to nobody wants to update their power supply. 294 of you voted in the poll. We want to thank each and every one of you. As for opinions, once you've left your vote, you can go over and leave your opinion. And in that particular case, we had about a dozen people, 13 people leaving their opinions, which was very nice. Thank you. This week's poll is a little different. I was listening to internet radio last night and thought to myself, I wonder how many other people listen. So that became this week's poll. Do you listen to radio over the internet? Two very simple choices. Yes and no so far.
What about sometimes?
That's a Mac user for you.
That would be yes. The choice is either you do or you don't, you have or you haven't, you will or you won't. Yes or no, yes or no.
I'm a binary kind of guy.
You're a binary, or you're not. There's only two kind of, never mind. So you can listen to internet, listen to internet radio. So far we've got about 70 votes online, and no is ahead by two. It's dang close to even. We'll see what happens by the end of the week. We'd love to have you vote, and oh, it is dead even at the moment now. 72 votes, yes and no, each have 36 votes, splitting it 50-50. It's a close race. We may have to go for the hanging chads, but first, I think we'll go back to the phones and go to the hanging Mark from Greece, New York. Welcome, Mark. What's your question?
Hi, guys.
How are you?
Great program, and welcome back, Nick.
Thank you very much.
Well, I'm doing pretty good, other than I've got some issues here with a with a hard drive. And I've created a partition table error by doing kind of a dumb thing, but I guess it was late at night when I did it. What I did is, my system had a 30 gig hard drive, and it was partitioned, you know, as it originally came out of the box. It had 23 gig and 3 gig for the system backup.
Right.
All the files, and then I created installed all my Norton antivirus and firewall and everything. I created a Norton Basic Rescue Disk. Probably, a year later or whatever, I was in a really weak moment, and I tried running this user backup utility that comes with the company that makes the computer. I don't know if I can mention the name or not.
Sure.
But, it repartitioned the hard drive, and it actually crashed during the process, and it left me with an 18 gig partition and an 8 gig. And so I went on to use it that way for another 3 months and figured I'll deal with that at some point. And so what happens now is I got into another mode where I had problems booting up, and I had to, I ended up using my Norton Basic Rescue Boot Disk. With my original partition table information.
Mm-hmm.
Back when it was 23 and 3.
Right.
And I restored it to that after I had repartitioned the hard drive, after this other software had repartitioned the hard drive to 18 and 8. Now I've got essentially 18 and 3, and I've got 5 gig hidden, so that I can't get to it.
You're in pretty bad shape.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm saying. I ran Norton Disk Doctor. It recognized the problem but couldn't fix it.
Your data are all backed up, right?
I've got nothing really important on that. Yeah, my data is all backed up.
What you want to do first, so you don't get those two goofy partitions, is probably look for a BIOS update. With the BIOS update, since the 20 gig limit there, that's why it's breaking it up to the 18 and 3.
Originally, I had a 23 and a 3, so I don't think I have the BIOS limit.
I don't think he does. I don't know what he's got.
He's got some kind of limit in there because normally...
How fast is your machine? What kind of...
It's a Pentium 3 866. I've got 392 megabyte of RAM.
Yeah, that should go 30, but...
What it sounds like is whatever he got out of the box...
What brand is it?
It's a Compaq.
All right, no.
Yeah. They put that diagnostic partition in.
Yes, Compaq,
That's where all the system files are.
Yeah, the Compaq likes to put their own little unique stuff separate.
They don't give you the Windows software.
You know, although I never suggest, of course, now you don't even have a restore disk.
Well, I do. I mean, I have the classic restore. You can go back and...
And it wipes it out to day one.
That's kind of a tough thing. I think I created the problem because when I put in my Norton Basic Rescue Boot Disk, it did highlight a partition table difference, of course, because it had the old information with the 23 and the 3 partition, and I was running with the 18 and the 8. Mm-hmm. And so late at night, I made a dumb move, and I said, okay, go ahead, because I wanted to get rid of that other partition anyway. Well, it was a bad move, because now I've got partition table that...
Well, if you're going to repartition it anyway, using your restore disk would put you back the way Compaq wants it. with all their utilities, which you may or may not ever use. But you'd have a full 23 gig to play with and have only three hidden for the utilities.
Right.
As long as you're going to go back to something, that's probably the best place to go back to.
Yeah.
All right. Can I?
But you said it was a 30 gig drive?
It was a 30 gig drive originally.
But 23 and 3 is only 26.
Well, yeah, no matter what he does, he's missing something.
The full amount.
Yeah.
For whatever reason.
Yeah, don't forget, that's 30 million, that's 30 billion
yeah,
bytes.
Yeah, usually closer
as opposed
than that,
to, as opposed, yeah, as opposed
yeah,
to 23.
My numbers a little mm-hmm. bit.
Yeah.
You know, but it was I know it wasn't a full 30, didn't add up to 30 what I had before, but
right.
I know I definitely have 5 less than I had before.
Yeah, you definitely want to play with restoring it right back to what
okay.
it was.
Okay, one other option I was thinking about is going with a program like Partition Magic.
Yeah. Yes and no. In this particular case, if you ever really need those compact utilities, you really want them there.
Yeah.
You will probably never need them, but if you do, of course, you're already reformatting your hard drive. I guess.
Yeah, I was going to say if you wanted to. Now you're running what, Windows 98 Second Edition?
Okay. Now I'm going to have to come clean.
Uh huh.
I've got the infamous ME. I didn't want to mention that in the beginning, but my plan is to actually go to XP. I'm very close to that mode. What I'm actually trying to think about doing is having a partition and installing XP on the partition.
Well, you know what you want to do, Mark? Here's the thing you do.
Okay.
After 2 o'clock, because you don't want to miss any more sound bites.
Or you can get in your car during a commercial and drive there and sit in the...
No, then he's going to be in the store and miss out on it.
So
he doesn't leave
lot.
Until after 2 o'clock.
All right.
After 2 o'clock, we give you permission, go over to the Superstore, pick up the XP upgrade. You've got your stuff backed up. You format that machine clean. Find an old 98 disk and just get rid of all the partitions. Put the XP disk in. It will say, oh, wait a minute, I need verification. You'll have to put your ME disk in there just to satisfy it that it was there. And do a clean install of Windows XP, and you will have fewer headaches. And the thing will, like, if you've...
One of the choices under XP should be to reformat the drive, shouldn't it?
Not if there's already an existing...
No, it'll ask you if you want to delete that partition and make
right.
a new one.
Right.
But the one thing I've been running into with XP is it assumes NTFS. If you want to leave it FAT32, you need that 98 disk.
I was wondering, what do you recommend?
NTFS.
NTFS, no question. It is much more secure. You actually gain a little bit of disk space in the way that it keeps
file.
Stuff. You don't have to defrag nearly as often.
Yeah.
So all the way around, NTFS is a better deal.
The one limitation is older DOS programs won't be able to see the NTFS partition, but upgrade them.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah, I was just...
And that's few and far between.
Just because, you know, a lot of the kids' stuff is on this, and if I have it down for a long time with, you know, my XP upgrading process,
XP, just so you know...
Well, after they go to bed, then you have all night before they wake up again.
Yes, because, seriously, XP is going to take you at least 2 hours to install and set up. And then after you get that, if you've got Roadrunner or DSL, then you've got to go to the website and get all the updates.
And that's if everything goes right.
Oh, my virus software and my firewall.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okie doke.
Yeah, one more quick thing about...
I'm sorry, Mark. We have to go.
We got to take a break.
We're getting the evil eye from Rob. And if you've ever seen Rob, you know how bad that can be. So we're going to take a break back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, our producer and resident evil eye expert, and me, Nick Francesco, on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
I think it weighs keeping them down to one question.
Oh, Christmas time! You guys all been good?
America's longest running computer radio show is brought to you by the Element K Learning Center, MicroWorks Direct Computers, Roadrunner Business Class, and Green Shield Computer Services. Saturday from 12:20 till 2, answer any and all computer and computer-related questions. Now, back to Nick Francesco on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
WHAM.
Yep, it's true, we're back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And before we go back to the phones, I just have to say, clearly I at least am in the wrong profession.
Where should you be?
I should be a scientist. Scientists, according to the New Scientist magazine, Martin Voracek at the University of Vienna and Marianne Fisher at York University in Canada studied 50 years of Playboy to reach the conclusion that models are becoming less curvaceous.
I thought we went through that with the Twiggy stage, and now we're back to the curvaceous stage.
They studied every issue from the first one in December 1953 to December 2001. They called the height, weight, and bust measurements accompanying 577 centerfold pictorials and crunched the numbers. The type of female figure that they've concluded that the idea that the type of female figure that men find most attractive remains constant over time is a myth. They found that the bust and hip size of the models has decreased, although height has increased. Mr. Voracek concluded this means more recent models have a more skinny and tubular-shaped appearance.
Wait a minute. The height increased for who? The man or the woman?
The woman. He added, these temporal trends are at odds with claims that centerfold's body shapes are still more hourglass than stick insects, and that the maximally sexually attractive female waist-to-hip ratio is stable. It's so often you get to use the terms waist-to-hip ratio, really ever, that I'm delighted to announce
it's,
that.
And it's kind of interesting that you know, 100, 200 years ago and more, fatter women were more popular because it meant they could afford to eat.
Right.
Basically. True. So yeah, they had money, so let's go get them. Now you want to be skinny and tan because that means you have leisure time to go to the gym and the tanning salon.
Right.
So either way, it doesn't work.
Yeah, really.
On to our next caller, Rick from Webster, New York. Welcome, Rick. What's your question?
Hi, I got a question concerning Windows 98 and an upgrade disk that they had. I had Windows 98 first edition that I was running, and then they came up with the service pack, and I decided to send in the $5 and get the CD to upgrade it rather than playing over the internet. I did that. I ran it. It went fine. A year later, I had a major problem with Windows where I felt I had to reload Windows. And so I went into reload Windows. The problem was so bad that I couldn't even get into Windows.
Okay.
So I go to reload Windows. I put in my Windows 98 diskette version 1. It comes back and tells me, sorry, you've upgraded since here, so you can't use this disk. You have to use the upgrade disk. The problem is the upgrade disk they give you from the service pack can only be run from within Windows. So it's kind of a catch-22. I can't use the new disk, but I can't.
Did you reformat the hard drive?
No.
You can.
That's what you're going to hit, or wipe out the Windows directory.
There's a trick you can do first that we've seen this with OEM disks. When you try to, when you buy a brand new machine, it'll often come with an OEM disk, original equipment manufacturer. When you try to reinstall Windows with that OEM disk, it says, oh, you've already got Windows. This can only be run on a bare drive. If you go into your Windows subdirectory, find the win.com file, rename it win.back, B-A-K for backup. Then the installer doesn't see you already have Windows. It only looks for that one specific file, not all the thousands of other files.
Yeah.
So that might fake it into thinking it's a brand new machine, allow you to install your first edition again, then go in and install the service pack again. Now, the other thing to keep in mind is this is still different than Windows 2nd Edition, which was another upgrade disk you had to buy at the time. Now you cannot buy the first to second upgrade. You have to buy a full second edition.
Okay.
And that's only for a very short time.
Yeah.
Until they fly off the shelves.
Right.
I have one more question concerning Roxio CD Creator.
Yeah.
It had to do with, I got the trial version that came with my CD burner. And that worked fine. I could burn CDs with it. Then later on, I got the full-blown version 5 Platinum one. Any CD I create off that, well, I go to work and I'm running Windows 2000 here. It won't recognize the CDs from that. It will recognize CDs I created using the lower-level version.
Are you creating them using the packet writing?
I'm using the creating it like a. Well, I've created music CDs that it won't recognize, and I've also created just data CDs.
Do you use the CD creator to make a list of files and then burn that in one shot, or do you drag it onto the CD icon one file at a time?
The ones I have a problem with, I've been dragging them back and forth.
That's the problem.
Mm-hmm. And
that's
packet writing.
Right. Packet writing is a secondary function of Raxio called DirectCD. The recipient machine must have DirectCD installed in order for you to read those disks.
Or sometimes you can put those files for the packet reading on there and it'll install them on the other machine.
The only weird thing, though, is that I did it the same way with the trial version, or the version that came with the CD burner, and those ones work okay in Windows 2000.
You might not have packet writing, though, on that.
Okay.
With the original.
Right, because the upgrade contains packet writing, and generally, when you drag one file on at a time, it writes it in packet mode, because it thinks you're trying to use the CD as a big floppy.
Right.
And removing files and adding files and all that stuff, which you have to be in packet mode to do.
Sometimes, if you can, there's an option somewhere, I always forget, but if you go into the Raxio software, there's an option to finish or close the session at the end of the packet writing, and sometimes that will make it work on a non-packet system.
Right. The other way to do it is to go through the menus and write it as, disk at once, right? Write the whole disk at once.
Okay.
And just, create a CD as opposed to dragging files.
And that's one of the major differences between the minus R formats that are so common these days and the plus R. Plus R was designed to do the read and write on the fly. Unfortunately, it's more expensive to do. The disks are more expensive, so it hasn't caught on.
Right. Okay, we're going to take another break. Back in just a few minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, our producer, and me, Nick Francesco, on the universe's greatest, longest-running, and just plain dang coolest computer show, Soundbites, on 1180 WHAM.
News Radio 1180. These guys know computers. They may not know anything else, but they know computers. They're Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray. This is Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
And when you're talking about refreshingly easier to take, you're definitely talking about Nick Francesco,
Dave Enright,
Steve Ray,
and Rob Linton
on Soundbites.
No other way about it.
Rob's looking at me like, where's he going with this?
Segway, man.
Should I say my name on that one?
Well, before we go back to the phones, we're going to go to the mailbag. We have a mailbag. For email, right, the email bag. This was started on our old radio station, the brilliance of Bob Smith to create this idea. And you can send us questions. Go to our website, soundbites.org, and fill out the form and send us a question. Rich from Rochester, who is running Windows XP with 256 megabytes, says water was spilled on my laptop computer while sitting on a desk in college. Yeah, like it happened without any human intervention. Mm-hmm. Water was spilled on the computer while sitting on a desk in college. No one was near it.
Sometimes they call that rain.
Yeah.
Or
food fight! I sent it back to Dell, and they said that the fried motherboard was not under my limited warranty and would cost $1,000 to repair. My laptop was only less than a year old, and I was wondering if there was an alternate solution that you know of.
Yes, buy another new laptop, and don't get water near it.
Part of the problem is that most of the warranties only cover hardware defects.
Yeah.
Don't cover misuse or abuse, and spilling water on your computer is considered
even
misuse.
Even if it takes a surge and you didn't have a surge protector, that's not covered under the warranty.
Sometimes, we've had some luck with some brands, you can just say, I don't know what happened, and it's not working, can you see if you can fix it, please?
Mm-hmm.
So don't actually lie. Just omit the
water truth. Is kind of obvious. Yeah. I mean, because things start sticking and everything else, and the bottom line of it all is sorry, it's just another lesson you've learned in college, not to throw water around.
Just another lesson you've learned in college.
Who goes to college to learn anything? You go to party.
Anyways.
Rob, you're still in college, right?
And Rob clearly wouldn't know anything about what you're talking about. But I'm sorry, Rich, that's where you are.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
There's that evil eye again. Rob's professors wouldn't know what we're talking about.
Now you know what the P in Rob P. Linton stands for. Party.
There's a P in my name?
Now there is, yeah.
You know, maybe I'm just a little like out of it because of my cold or something, but I'm utterly confused.
We hadn't noticed.
Listen, I'm in between you two guys, and if he starts flinging stuff...
But this, I have to say, this is like the very first time Rob has volunteered to say, to actually speak on the air. You see what happens when he gets sick? Whatever cold medicine he's on, he needs to take more of it.
I got him started...
He just bounced right in there.
Well, I got him started last week, because he was really stuffed up last week. I told him to go out and get Nielsenephrine. He goes, you sure?
Sure.
I says, that stuff, I swear by it. First thing I came in early today, says, did you try that?
Goes, well, I got Neosporin. It didn't help much.
I was going to say, Steve's like, not to be mistaken with Neosporin. Yeah, we don't want
to... Ow! Put that up your nose!
And, Rob, I have to tell you, since you weren't alive in the 60s, you can't name the colors you'll see on that. We're going to go back to the phones now. Our next caller... Warren from Penfield, New York. Welcome, Warren. What's your question? Try to get in before Dave dies. How are you?
Oh.
Season's greetings
Merry
to you.
Merry Christmas.
Felicitations of the season to you and yours.
Thank you. And also thanks for the site of, I heard a site on, you know.
Yes.
Because it gives you a lot of information. I use it quite often.
Thank you. That's what I like to hear. That's why we're here.
But now I got a problem I don't see on there.
Well, thanks for calling.
I can get a message to stay. How do I get a message to stay long enough when you set the mouse on it on an icon on XP to read it? I mean, it gets on, it flashes, then it goes off. Is there any way to?
Oh, the time the tooltip messages stay open.
Yes.
Or those hit messages or whatever they call them.
Sometimes there's some that work right, but others that don't.
I don't know if you can set that time.
Yeah, I don't know of any settings that I'm aware of.
I suspect...
It's just controlled within Windows, and it's probably something that's set, and you'd have to do some digging in the registry.
Yeah, I was about to say, I suspect it's somewhere in the registry.
In the registry, you'd have to set some time factor in there because it's a Windows default. Which, for the average user, we don't recommend going in there and playing around, let alone editing a particular line in the registry.
I don't want to do that.
Yeah, so it's just one of those things I guess you're going to have to kind of live with.
Keep pushing it on it.
Yeah, and slowly get a look, you know, your eyes will go buggy, you know. And then there it goes.
And I heard earlier you have a thing on there on Adaptec on 5.2, did I hear?
Yes.
Oh, okay, I didn't look for that today.
Yes, we have it under there.
Okay.
Okay, sir?
Thank you very much.
Have a good holiday.
Thank you very much. Our next caller, Tom from Irondequoit. Welcome, Tom.
Hi, good morning. I mean, good afternoon.
Sure.
Guys, and Merry Christmas and everything.
Merry Christmas
to you.
Listen, I just have a question. Hopefully it's just a simple one concerning replacing a hard drive. I have Windows XP Home Edition on a older hard drive, and I want to replace it. I have the hard drive, but I just don't know what's going to happen when I stick it in there, and it thinks I'm putting a new installation in.
Are you replacing the hard drive itself?
Yes.
With the OS on it?
Yes.
Is there a reason you don't just add this hard drive so you have more room but keep the old hard drive in there?
This is a newer 7200 RPM. It's an older Dell I had it on.
Right.
And I'd like to just, it's only like a 14.5 that's in there.
Mm.
This is a second computer at home, but I use it a lot.
But, see, you'd have to get a program like Ghost. If you had a program like Ghost, you could sit there and literally ghost it from the old hard drive to the new hard drive. It will copy all the hidden files, the registries, and everything else within XP.
Yeah, if you put it in the new drive and then go to format it and everything else,
right.
It is very likely that your system will come up and say, I'm sorry, you've already installed this version of XP, and now you cannot use it, so you'll have to call Microsoft
and re-register
and beg them to let you re-register your own software.
I hear that they're pretty lenient on this kind of stuff.
Yes. Oh, yes. We've had to do it many a time.
It depends on who you get on the phone, but in general, they're very good.
Yeah, I mean, I've had no problems. I usually call and tell them, hey, I'm from NYPC Management. I've got client so-and-so here, and their hard drive died, and I have to, okay. And they just walk me through it. I give them their client's registration number, and they just re-register.
Yep.
So the only you do install Windows XP on there, and then when it comes to register, is there a telephone number?
Yes, there's an 800 number that you can call. It'll even display it. And you can call that 800 number, and you give them your original key code number.
Right.
And, of course, it's registered to you, and then they'll say, okay, here's your new one. And they give you another number to type in.
For God's sake, write it down.
No, you don't have to.
You want to, though, just so you have it somewhere.
Yeah, but even if you uninstall it again, you're going to have to call it again.
That's true.
And there's going to be another different number.
The
key one is the original one. You don't want to lose that one because that's the whole proof, which nowadays they put the sticker on the side of the machines on new ones.
Yeah.
So folks used to lose them. But, yeah, you'll have to write it down or put it in there or type it as they go along, and it'll re-register.
Now, the 800 number will come up when I just tell it I want to register it.
Well, yes, it will, sir.
The activation wizard will ask you if you want to do it over the Internet or do it over the telephone. And so whatever you pick, it will do it that way.
Now, the only thing you have to remember is you're going to want to make sure that when you do this, you do it during the hours that they're open.
And you get a month to do the activation anyway. You get 30 days before it stops working.
Right.
Right.
Oh, that's good. That's right. I forgot about that. There is 30 days.
Tom, please, let's not lower our expectations. It's not good to have to do this. I'm sorry, it's not.
Yeah. It
they
hinders.
Make it as painless as possible, but what they're doing is assuming you're a thief until you prove otherwise.
It hinders the legitimate user much more than it prevents piracy.
Exactly, and it really, you do not become complacent about this.
Mm-hmm.
It is not something you should take lying down.
Right.
I'm sorry, that's just the way I feel.
Okay.
Dagnabbit.
Unfortunately, it's getting to be more common.
Yeah.
That's a shame because, the majority of the people are probably very, very honest.
Yes, what they're doing is making it hard for the millions of honest people because of the very few.
Yeah, the other 10% that sit there and take one copy and will copy it on 6 or 7 machines.
Yeah. Is Apple doing this?
No, not yet.
Okay, so Apple's not doing it.
Yeah.
Linux isn't doing it. It's just Windows,
just
but you're saying it's becoming more prevalent.
Well, Microsoft Office for Windows also does it.
Right. So only if you're in the Microsoft world are you immediately considered a thief before you even do anything.
Well, the RIAA is trying to assume that for music files.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
one quick one. Have you ever heard of screensavers not wanting to work? On XP? You go on and it just won't.
A lot of the ones that you can download from various places don't work well because they weren't
designed for XP.
Rather than being real screensavers, that is to say running through the screensaver software that's built into Windows,
right,
they do it themselves. And they don't work well with XP.
Oh, I see.
Unless what you're downloading is a .scr file, if it's got any sort of XE component to it.
Yeah, well, in the regular SCR files, I think that came with it. And it just doesn't want to wait till 50. I'm at Tops right now, so you might hear a little.
Yeah, I'm hearing that.
Clean up an aisle, too.
Does it not activate when you want it to, or when it activates, it doesn't work?
Yeah, it just doesn't. I can get it to work at 1 minute. If I put it on 1 minute, it'll work. But if I try 15 minutes or something like that.
You can buy the Plus package for Windows XP and then you get a real niche.
A lot of times the screensaver activates during idle and the machine isn't idle. There's something running, something happening, something downloading, something happening. So it's not idle, so the screensaver doesn't activate.
It has
to be idle, completely idle, nothing happening for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay,
we got to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Contact the guys the old-fashioned way. Use your telephone.
dial 222-1180 or the Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180 or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Welcome back to Sound Bites with Nick Francesco on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Wouldn't making contact with somebody the old-fashioned way be to send your servant over with your business card and request an audience?
Yes, I believe.
Anyway, I'm Nick Francesco.
And I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. Before we go back to the phones, one more dip, and I mean that in the nicest way, in the old mailbag. Terry from East Bethany, New York, writes, my Epson C80 is telling me the cartridges are empty when they're not. I can still hear the ink sloshing around in them. I'm printing calendars for my store and expect to go through a lot of ink, but I've gone through two magentas since Saturday on black and white photos. I know it uses all the inks for printing, but I just bought this printer 2 weeks ago and the cartridges that came with it lasted through almost 300 copies, and now these new Epson cartridges are being eaten up after about 80 copies. Is the chip technology screwing me? I love the printer. It's fast and high quality. But why would I get so many more print jobs in the original cartridges and then fly through the replacement? Same print jobs, same paper. Help.
The usual complaint is the opposite. The cartridges that come with the printer are only half full and to make you buy a new one sooner. One of the problems with all inkjet printers is that every time you turn them on, they go through an inkjet cleaning cycle and purge the heads of ink. So even if you never actually print anything, every time you turn it on and off, it uses up some of the ink. So maybe she's turning it off too many times. She prints a job, turns it off, and then an hour later turns it back on to print another job.
And those printers have been noted for clogging up, too. And I might be getting a false sense that, you know.
Right. She may want to run the cleaning cycle manually to clean the heads up.
And the alignment.
But sometimes you can also run into problems where when the printer says the tank is empty and you don't change it, you pull the old one out, put the old one back in, it thinks there's a new cartridge. So then when it does run out and you replace it, it still thinks it's half empty from the previous time you had the old cartridge in. So it can be tricky with the inkjet printers to let it run through the full chip, the full cartridge life, and some of that is because of the chip problems.
Okay. Terry, whether you are male or female, thank you very much for your question. I hope that helps a little bit. On to Michael from Elma, New York. Elma.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
And I wish you a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
All the same to you.
My question is actually about the computer. I've got just a comment, maybe a question about the cartridges you were talking about before and these chips telling when they're empty.
Mm-hmm.
Could you maybe, if this chip knows empty and then latches and says, okay, it's empty, and if you try to refill it, nope, I'm empty. Do you refill it before it's empty, before that chip finds out it's empty?
No, it's a percent. It measures how much ink is used and knows it's a quarter full, half full, empty.
Okay.
So no matter how much ink is really in it, it knows.
Yeah, it's not actually measuring the ink. It's measuring the usage of the ink.
Yeah, percentage.
Okay. Listen, I've got an old, I guess it's old, 235 megacycle processor. A computer I kind of built up. I got Windows 95, and I keep getting problems almost every time I print. The blue screen comes up and says I've got some kind of problem. Usually I can shut the computer off, reboot. When I turn it back on, it'll almost always tell me that there was a printing job in progress. Do I want to continue? I can press that. It'll do the printing, but it's very annoying.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily even want to fix it. Should I do this? The computer works for what I want it to do, but is there another operating system besides Windows that will work?
Well, you can go to, because see, 95, the problem you're running into there hasn't been supported in a few years.
Okay.
What you can do is go, how much memory do you have in it?
The RAM, I believe, is 256, and it's a 5 gigabyte drive.
You could upgrade to Windows 98 Second Edition.
Okay.
And I think you'll find more drivers written for 98 than you will 95.
Okay.
And I think you'll like the stability of 98 SE over 95.
Yeah, this seems like it's a whole pile of stuff setting and balanced on a razor blade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You got
it. If you're intent on keeping that machine, you could also look at Linux, but now you're learning a whole new operating system.
And buying all new programs. Or actually downloading them for free.
For free, exactly.
I was almost familiar with DOS version 7, and then all of a sudden programs that I used to use, like TAC packages, they weren't offered in DOS anymore.
Right.
So that was my problem. Okay, I thank you very much, gentlemen.
Absolutely, thank you, sir. Our pleasure, sir. Thank you. Our next caller, Henry from Rochester. Welcome, Henry. What's your question?
Hi, season's greetings to y'all.
You too.
Continuing the printer theme here, my sister recently moved her computer, and she has a HP 722C inkjet printer, deskjet printer, excuse me.
HP what? What's the model number?
Pardon me?
What's the model number?
It's an HP deskjet 722C.
Thank you.
And when she moved it, she packed it up in the box that it came in, but didn't take out the ink cartridges.
Ouch.
And unfortunately, it looks like we got ink all over the inside of the printer, and it's leaking out the back.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the question is the printer still usable, and how do I clean out the ink out of the printer?
It's certainly still usable if you clean it out. You've got to use a lot of solvents and take a lot of incredible amount of care over doing it. Yeah. I don't know what the prices are nowadays on 722Cs, but you might want to take a look at those prices and weigh the amount of time you're going to spend playing with that versus the cost of just going out and buying a new one.
Yeah.
Since you didn't take the ink out, you're just looking at an incredible amount of work for...
You get into the electronics, if you spill any of the solvent, short out the circuit boards and that in there, it might be...
Might be time to just... put it out on the curb. And I'm afraid we're done for another week. I want to thank everybody we got to and apologize to everybody we didn't get to. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton. We will be back next Saturday night. Please have a safe, blessed, happy, and healthy Christmas and holiday season.
Folks.
Merry Christmas, and to all a good night. For WHAM 1180, I'm Nick Francesco, and this is Soundbites.
Get the gift of movies this holiday.